Let's get to the Rashad Report, brought to you by The Golf Den, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. Check out their two locations, Edmonton and Short Park. It's golfden.ca. Shogger, how are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
Do you have a cold?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, all right. Okay. Just want to make sure you're
under the weather.
Make sure you're all right.
I'm good, buddy. I'm good.
Did you have a chance to watch the potential future of the Edmonton Oilers last night?
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, I did. I didn't see the whole thing, but I watched a little bit last night and enough to, I mean, you look at the final score sheet and you're looking for McDavid to score a bunch of goals, and instead he's only got 4 assists. Like, the guy can just do everything. It's unbelievable how he can distribute and score. Just incredible the way he can generate offense.
Oh, he's a dynamic skater. Darnell Nurse's skating ability, though, Ryan, is phenomenal from the back end.
Yeah, it's pretty unusual for a guy that tall to have that kind of speed. And that's the thing about Darnell. Like, he's not afraid to get up in the play. He's not afraid to, even end up in the offensive zone behind the net. Shift here and there. But when you're that fast and you can get back the way he can, you kind of don't blame him for being a little cocky and feeling like he can get away with that. I don't think he'll be able to do that necessarily at the next level, at the pro level, because everyone around him is going to be faster. But, I mean, the athleticism and the speed. I mean, he's so deep in his stride, so much power. We were talking about it this morning too, and just the way he transports the puck, right? He can pick up the puck at the hash mark in his own zone, and in like three strides be at the far blue line. Like, he's just unbelievable with the, you know, how fast he can get up to speed and how powerful it is. So that's one thing the Oilers have a glut of coming in those two, is all kinds of speed.
Which is something that, you know, we talked about it last year. I felt the Oilers, one thing they lack is overall team speed. I think gone are the days of the quick Oilers. They've got some, you know, Nugent Hopkins can skate, Hall's fast, yep. Everly's quick, but they don't have a ton of team speed. And obviously McDavid and Nurse, whether it's next year or the year after, when both of them are in the lineup, that will make a difference.
Well, for sure. I mean, they don't have burners, right? Like, they've got guys that are fast. I mean, Taylor Hall is a top 5% skater in the league. Like, he's an unbelievable skater. But I mean, Connor McDavid is every bit as fast, and Connor can handle the puck at full speed as well as anybody I've seen. I mean, his ability to just handle that thing, no matter how fast he's going, is incredible. So there's a difference between guys who can flat out skate fast and guys who can accomplish things and do things at full speed. Like, Mike Modano was always great at handling the puck at high speed. So to me, that's, McDavid is set apart because full speed doesn't, you know, his skill level doesn't come down. Whereas Taylor gets up to full speed and, you know, what he can do with that puck changes a little bit. Whereas Connor, you know, he can be flat out and still have every bit as much control of it. Nate McKinnon is like that too. So it's pretty impressive. And then Nurse, I mean, you know, he's 6'4". You know, he's going to play at probably 220 pounds or more by the time he finishes filling out. And to have that kind of wheels on that frame, it's pretty unbelievable. And physically, I mean, the guy is there. He's ready. Just strictly a matter of how he manages his game, because he has all the tools.
When you look at Darnell Nurse, he did get into, three games with OKC last year, if you recall, late in the season, in the regular season, and then three more into the postseason. If Erie dispatches them or five or six, you got to think he's going down to OKC, which would be great for him.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. And by the way, I think Craig McTavish is still pretty actively working within the organization. I think he's on his way to watch OKC. Where are they, San Antonio?
Yeah,
I think he's heading down there. So, day to day, it looks like Craig is still reasonably involved in what's going on. I don't know that any big long term decisions have been made, but got word that he was on his way down there. So that'll be interesting to know. But yeah, for sure, I think they would love to see Darnell in some playoff action if they get the opportunity to, and to really test him out. And he stands out. He sticks out like a sore thumb in the CHL, no question. He's just his physical prowess, his speed, his ability. He stands out big time there, and it will be very interesting to see in the pro game a year later if he can find a way to stand out at that level too. And I'm sure the Oilers would love to see it.
Ryan Rashog joined us. So, you know, he's just that much stronger and has more experience. The fact, you know, he went to the World Juniors. I had Darnell on the show last week. And, you know, he seems like such a more mature and confident player that, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him go down to OKC and be thrust into to their top pairing right away.
Yeah, and so they should. I mean, like, give them an opportunity. Get them down there. I mean, they'll break them in a little bit. I don't know if they'll just start throwing them out there 24 minutes a night or anything. But, I mean, it won't be long, I think, before they're wanting to test him and wanting to use him and see what he can do. Now, that team's been together all year, and they've earned themselves a playoff spot, and I don't think they're going to rock the boat too much. They're not going to force it if it's not working. But I think it's important for Darnell. It's important for his confidence. I think I didn't hear the interview with him, but I can't imagine he didn't say that the World Juniors was a big confidence booster for him. I mean, if you compare what he was doing in training camp, which I thought he was playing pretty well in camp, but I think we all agreed he wasn't quite there yet. Then you look at what he did at the World Juniors. And to me, what Darnell did a great job of at the World Juniors was kind of dialing in the mental side of the game a little bit, the decision-making, and he picked his spots. And he was physical and he was mean, but he kept it for the most part within the rules and didn't get himself into too much penalty trouble. There were a few slip ups here and there, but I thought his decision making at the World Juniors was great. And then you add that to the confidence of a pretty dominant season, and then a chance in the American Hockey League, and seventh overall for this guy, it could end up looking pretty darn good, because I know he's still young, but all signs are pointing straight up.
Ryan Rashog joins us. Now, you mentioned Craig McTavish.
Yeah.
So you're assuming he had accepted a role. No one knows what the role is. How do you think that's going to unfold?
You know what? I don't think it'll unfold in any way other than the way it's unfolding. I don't think there's going to be a huge announcement. I don't think there's going to be a real big deal made of it. I think Craig's just, I think he probably just needs a little bit of time to wrap his head around things. I think it was probably a little bit surprising to him the way this all played out. But I think that, at the end of it all, I think Craig still sees the opportunity within the organization to help the organization turn the corner a little bit. I think there's a role for him. I think it sounds like Chiarelli feels like there's a role for him and wants him on board. I just think it'll kind of just happen. He'll just still be around, and he'll be a step back, but he'll help out with everything from amateur scouting to pro scouting to, I think when Craig had his last role in the organization before being general manager, he was kind of the guy they went to sort of bounce stuff off of. He was the guy that maybe questioned things. He was the guy that, his role, I don't even remember what his title was, VP of Hockey Ops or something like that.
Yep.
Basically what Scott Housen is now, I think, or was before he got more onto the amateur side. He wasn't the final decision maker, but he was a sounding board. And I think there's room for Craig McTavish in that role. I think Peter Chiarelli will control the direction of all this. Peter Chiarelli will control all the big decisions. But I think Craig McTavish will stay involved and still have a say. And someone else will make the final decisions at the end of the day. Like, for instance, here's a good example. I believe Craig McTavish was ready to hand Oscar Klefbom $4.5 million a year over 6 years. Just bang, done, do it. Get it done, long-term deal, right? That might be good business. Some might think that's good business. I don't know that Peter Chiarelli will handle that business the same way. Maybe he's going to look at it and say, you know what? He's played 60 good games, and so we're going to give him a 3-year deal or a 2-year deal. Craig had a tendency to throw out those big deals to those young guys when he felt like they were close to being ready. Maybe Chiarelli will handle his business a little bit differently.
Yeah, it's interesting on, you mentioned how what he was willing to do, and, he's been in the organization before, and I understand some people are like, why do they have to keep people in where, you demote people? You're saying, well, you're not good enough at this job, but we're going to keep you. Like, at some point, does that have to change?
It just depends on what they're used for. It just depends on how much say they have and what they're used for. I mean, could the Oilers go out and hire Sean Burke as the assistant general manager, second in command to Chiarelli? Sure, they could. New blood, You know, he's got a connection with Bob Nicholson. Elliot Friedman talked a little bit about it in his column. Could they go do something like that? Sure. That said, Craig McTavish, as far as I know, is under contract and probably making a pretty good chunk of money from the organization. And so there is a limit to an owner's willingness to just pay people not to work for them. And so if there are useful people in place and they're already being paid by the organization, and, you know, there actually does come a time where it's good business to use people you're paying. And I don't think that Craig McTavish will be a detriment to the organization. I do think that there's a place for him. Not necessarily the guy making all of the big decisions, but I think we all respected Craig's ability in some ways. And I don't know who the next best candidate would be. I don't know what the caliber of the job would be. Who knows what Daryl Cates would okay in terms of going out and finding another mid-level guy. So I think it's prudent for them to take a look at Craig, decide if they think he can help, and if they think he can, just keep him on.
Yeah, I guess I understand it. We'll see what he brings. How many other guys are going to stay on?
Yeah, that's a good question, right? I mean, I think Bill Scott will probably stay on. I think Bill was still fairly new in his role as assistant general manager. He's kind of the cap guy. He's kind of the transactions guy. And I think there was a bit of a slip up with Kachev for sure in a tough loophole of a rule and all that kind of stuff. But I think for the most part, he worked on the Yakupov deal. He's done lots and he's making his way. So I wouldn't be surprised if Bill Scott stays on. To me, the big question is Scott Housen, because the role that Scott Housen is filling or was filling for much of this season, that's basically the role that Craig McTavish would have with the organization, I think, if he were to stay on. And so where does Scott Housen end up? And the easy, I think the obvious one is that Scott's no longer with the organization at some point here, but he's so heavily ingrained in their amateur side right now. They're going to need him for the draft.
You think, like, is he's more ingrained than Bob Green?
I would say that Scott Housen, Stu McGregor, and Bob Green are the three guys. They have done the scouting for all across the different leagues. So their job was basically to just run the gamut of learning all the guys they needed to know for this upcoming draft. And then the area scouts, they left in their areas this year. So the Western League scouts stayed in the Western League. The OHL scouts stayed in the OHL. They didn't cross over. Often scouts will cross over to get a bit of a sense for the talent in the other areas. And then what they do is they all come together, combine their resources, and come up with their list. That's not happening this year. Area scouts stayed in their own areas. Scott Housen, Bob Green, Stu McGregor were the crossover guys. They're the ones that will forge that list based on their scouting and crossing over. So it's a little bit of a different system. It's a three-headed monster, and those three are very important. They have a lot of the information that's going to be needed. They will have gone and watched a guy that, you know, their OHL scout might have, well, you got to take this guy in the second round. Well, they'll have seen the guy in the Western League who would also be the guy you might take. So they're going to be critical at the draft this year. And I could see Scott Housen being around at least for the draft. I'm not sure what happens to him after that, but I don't know that they'll remove him before then, because that's the way it's been run this year.
Well, it's interesting. Shirelli's brother, of course, was let go April 15th with a few other scouts. And now he was only an Ontario-based scout, so it's not like he's going to come in and necessarily be the head of scouting, I don't think, just based on his past resume. But I would sense that Shirelli, the majority of the management changes will actually happen later in the summer than sooner.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. After the draft, right? I think the draft will happen, and then really there isn't a huge rush after that. I mean, you want to give guys an opportunity to get work elsewhere if they're not going to stay on, right? You want to be decent to people. But part of what Shirelli is inheriting here is a new system that's been put in place by Craig McTavish. So how do you gauge those results? It's a new system that really is tough to judge. So you can look at the Oilers draft history, or you can, there's lots of criticism to be levied at them and all that, but a lot of that has changed. So he's got to come in, analyze a relatively new way of doing things in a new system, figure out how he feels about that system, and then decide what to do with parts that are still relatively unproven. Like, how's Bob Green doing at his job? How's he making out? Do you know? I don't know. I mean, he's new on the job. So who makes that call, and how long does he get to prove himself with the new guy in charge? So he's not inheriting a body of work that he can look at and really get a good read on, because so much had changed just before he got here. So it's tough.
It is going to be a very interesting, Shogger. Enjoy the game tonight. Who are you picking in Game 7?
Yeah, I think Tampa Bay. I just think Detroit, their back end is too banged up. I don't think Steven Stamkos is going to stay quiet forever. I think those three small guys have just been unbelievable. Tampa's just a spectacular team on home ice. I don't think Detroit overcomes all those things tonight. You?
No, I picked Tampa at the start. I didn't think it would go seven, but now with Cronwall and Zidlicky out, but you know,
yeah.
Mrazek's going to have to play like he did in game one, realistically, I think, for Detroit to find a way to win. And Stamkos, 9 games in a row without a goal. And, you know, it's funny how certain guys you start to, even for one of the greatest goal scorers in the game, you squeeze that stick a little tight and suddenly he can't score. Like, he's not really generating much at all. I watched game six. Tyler Johnson is their guy right now. Like, he's not close offensively.
Yeah, it's amazing. But Stamkos is not, I mean, he's a world-class player for a reason, right? So he's not going to be the first great player to be stymied in the first round, only to maybe wake up in the second or third round. It's an encouraging sign for the Lightning that they're playing well, and it looks like they got a good chance to move on, despite the fact Stamkos hasn't been playing that good, but they're not going to be able to keep him down for long. He will sort it out. And if they can get through tonight, I don't think Steve Stamkos is going to be quite as invisible as he was in the second round, or in the first round, in the second round. I don't think you hold that player back for more than a series.
Shogger, have fun. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, pal.